Sorry to be a party pooper, but Countryman's going to keep me here a wee bit longer. D&C want me to build up a profile of the long-term efficiency of this department.
Jim, let's just call it snooping, eh?
Is it cases dating back to 1980? Or your grubby little secrets and malpractices waiting to be uncovered? I'm going to unearth you, Hunt.
Stars. My stars.
Join you. Isn't that what you say?
Wow. Yeah, Alex has been talking to Manchester. That's interesting.
A young boy is sitting on a curb, playing with a red toy car. Jean's Quattro squeals round a corner at a thundering pace and roars past the boy, kicking up a cloud of dead leaves.
Drunk.
But you have been drinking.
It's nearly dinner time. Of course I've had a bloody drink.
Well, isn't that all the more reason to watch the speed? It's a drugs tip-off we're chasing. If I'm going to lose my life, I'd like it to be for something a little bit more worthwhile.
Swing a right here, go.
It's due target down Tabernacle Street. Over.
There he is. There's the van. What bloody blind, Christopher. I can't see it.
The van skids to avoid the black car and crashes into a workman's tent.
What's going on, Gov?
Sigma? Shelby's got a runner heading south down Tabernacle Street.
A woman gets out of the black car.
Gov, she's got a gun!
What the hell's he doing?
The woman fires a warning shot into the air, but Jean continues towards her and snatches the weapon from her hands. He looks like he's about to arrest her, but lets her go instead.
What's the Gov playing at?
Jean discharges a shell from the shotgun and turns to his colleagues. Alex emerges from cover, puzzled by Jean's behaviour.
Ray, check the van.
Chris.
Tip off with Raggle. It's heroin.
You deliberately let her go. A suspect has saw you. What's going on?
You'll have to trust me on this one.
Sorry, Gov. Trust me isn't going to wash this time.
OK, you got me, Bowles. It's a massive bleeding conspiracy between me, Linda Lovelace and Shergar. And you just rumbled us, so well done, you have a smart.
I am not going to be fobbed off.
What's the bleeding point anyway? It's not like I am the DCI of this district. It's not like anybody tells me about operations going on in my own back garden, is it?
I don't understand.
She's D16.
Undercover.
Yeah, she's one of us, a copper. Somebody is running a sting on my own patch and they don't even have the decency to tell me about it.
Look. You're annoyed.
Yes, I am annoyed. I'm very bloody annoyed. Somebody's gonna get my boot up their arse.
My name is Alex Drake. I was shot and found myself in 1983. Is it real or in my mind? Either way, I have to solve the mystery of what all this means and fight to get home. Because time is running out.
Starring Philip Glenister, Keely Hawes, Dean Andrews, Marshall Lancaster, Montserrat Lombard, and Daniel Mays. Co-created by Ashley Farrow and Matthew Graham. Written by Jack Lothian. Ashes to Ashes. Jean repeatedly slams his phone down in a rage.
Bollocks! Confidential. Cannot disclose details of said officer. Give him enough red tape and I try and bloody hang you with it.
Well, it's fair enough, Gov. Got to maintain the credibility of a cover.
My kingdom, Bolly. A copper from another station wouldn't even dare sneeze in here without my permission. But apparently some undercover dolly can do as she pleases.
The undercover dolly in question is Louise Gardner.
Morning. She's with your neighbours, the Hanfield station, DCI Wilson. He posted her undercover to one of the Stafford family fronts 6 months ago using the nom de plume of Sarah Huddersfield.
Impressive, aren't I? So,
what else do you need to know?
When are you going to bugger off and let the real police get on with some real work?
Rome wasn't built in a day, Jean, and an audit was never finished overnight.
Still.
Well, the more reason why I can be of help. Chris, if you could just pop those photos up there on the board for me. Thanks. Always helps to have a visual aid.
Oh, and while you're there, love, tea and two sugars, tar.
I'm sorry, but who are the Staffords?
Notorious crime
bunch of bastards.
Family.
Father Terry was a bit of a name back in his day. On first name terms with some of London's finest. But don't let the image fool you. Not many shits nastier than him.
Nearly went down for murder, but managed to weasel his way out of it. A list of unsolved crimes as long as you like.
That's Daniel, the son.
Served 3 years for attempted murder.
Business deal gone wrong.
He slashed his rival across both cheeks and then gave him a gentle shove out of a window, 15 stories high. Bounced higher than Dolly Parton's fun bags.
Daniel was released from prison in January, and as far as I can remember, he's currently going straight running a mannequin supply firm.
Good girl, Shaz. Say no, you lot. Just soon be giving us the orders.
Not soon enough, Gov.
So, the undercover officer...
Louise.
...was assigned to the Staffords and was part of the attempted heroin heist.
Who did the van belong to?
Warren Johnson, small-time dealer. He's a Man City fan and all. Anyway, we sent uniform up to pick him up.
So, do you think the Staffords are involved in the drugs business?
Well, we know as the answers, don't we?
Maybe you should run with this. Think of it as an opportunity. See how you do working with another station. A modern police force needs to learn how to work as one entity as well as separate cells.
Good, right. Well, in case you're all wondering, that's twat speak for giving us the okay to speak to DCI Wilson.
Jean gives Jim a brief sarcastic smile, but Alex offers him a sympathetic look. Jean and Alex are in DCI Wilson's office.
Just where do you get off running undercover operations on my patch?
The Stafford family's influence stretches into our district as well.
Your district?
For 15 years, Terry Stafford made my life a misery. As a copper, as a DC, as a DCI, robbery, extortion, kidnapping.
And now it looks like they're involved in drugs. Did your undercover officer tell you anything about that?
No, but it's been a few weeks since her last debrief and info drop.
Why did you put her in there with them?
Because I got to hear whispers from the prison floor. When little Danny Stafford gets out, he's going to raise hell. Bring the family back up to where it belongs. A name to be feared. Whispers aren't enough. I needed someone on the inside. Wasn't going to let the Staffords make a fool out of me again.
So you put a woman in there to do your dirty work while you sit on your fat ass twiddling your thumbs?
Wilson hobbles forward on a walking stick.
1979. Looking into the Westminster bank robbery. Some bugger hits me full force with an Austin Allegro. Never saw him, but I knew. Terry Stafford.
Well, let's see what Terry does when he's got me breathing down his neck. I'll take over from here.
With the greatest of respect, I can't allow that.
Well, with the greatest of respect, I'm not asking you, I'm telling you.
I'd try to dissuade you, but I'd just be wasting my breath, wouldn't I? Keep an eye on that Terry. Daniel's a shit, but he's just the monkey. Terry's the one grinding the organ. If you do catch the bugger, tell him DCI Wilson says hello. Nice tits, by the way.
Did he just say?
Man's a cripple, Bolly. Have a heart.
It's not fair Anfield gets someone so tidy. Could do with a bird like that to brighten this place up.
Oi.
I mean a proper bird. You're like a bloke with tits.
I am not.
I just mean I don't fancy you.
Oh,
it's
God.
A good thing. Bloody hell.
Chris shakes his head at Ray. Shaz smiles sweetly at Chris.
Heard she had a gun, but you still ran after her.
Well, a good lad, the Charles, but yeah. It's okay. She was one of us.
Yeah, but what if she hadn't have been? It's a bit risky there in the line of fire.
You almost sound like you care.
Of course I do, Chris.
He tentatively places a hand on hers.
I meant as a mate.
He quickly withdraws his hand. Jean and Alex park on a council estate and walk through an underpass towards a homeless man.
With my mind, she runs throughout the night. No need to fight.
You want to know what's happening on the streets, Bulls? You have to get your boots a bit dirty. Afternoon, Shorty. How's life in the fast lane? Shorty here has a bit of a problem. He likes the brown stuff. Can't stop sticking it in his veins. So what's going on out there? Any new players on the street?
Oh, yeah. That's why I'm sitting in an alley, shivering, puking.
Is there a drought?
I ain't talking without no cash in hand.
Oh, yes, you will, because if you don't, I will do to you what I did to you last time. You want to tell the lady what that was?
You shoved me head down the toilet.
You don't want to see his bathroom, I can tell you. Mr. Muscle would have a heart attack. D.I. Drake asked you a question. Is there a drought out there?
Most of the dealers have either shut up shop or buggered off.
When did the dealers start backing off?
A couple of months ago. All my normal bloke's gone. It's not right. It's not fair.
Oh, I'm welling up here. If you hear of anything, you call me. Understood?
Alex and Jean start to walk away.
You belong here. You look like you're visiting, but you're not, are you? You're staying.
What did you say?
She stares at the vagrant.
Bobby!
Then she notices some graffiti scrawled on the wall, which reads, "For a good time, call 6620. Then beside it are the words, "Molly was here," and "Jean hearts Sam." Back at the office.
Droughts don't just happen without a reason. If the dealers are all giving up, there must be something in it.
Well, it would help if we could actually speak with Wilson's undercover cop. What's this? There you go. Yes, sir, we young Daniel and Terry. One looks very cosy.
They definitely look very comfortable with her.
Yeah, well, they're blokes. When a girl like that wiggles up to you, you're going to tell her anything to get her knickers off.
Oh. Uniform picked up Johnston.
Right, where is the filthy little pusher?
Yeah, he's having a little lie down.
Overdose.
Bollocks.
Gov?
Warren Johnston was a dealer, not a dipper. He wouldn't even try his own supply, let alone somebody else's.
Might have been tempted, Gov.
There was a distinct lack of track marks.
So this is beginner's luck, then, eh?
And the bruising left where the needle went in was very severe.
So you think somebody forced the needle into her?
Possibly, yes.
It's quite clever, that. Well, if I wanted to wipe out a bunch of dealers, I'd just grab them, shoot them up and overdose them. Then they're just another statistic.
We wouldn't have even noticed Warren Johnston's death if the Gov hadn't wanted to talk to him. Which makes you wonder, doesn't it, how many times this has happened before? Because this is murder.
Thank you, Quincy.
May 28th, Steve Rankin, dealer, dead from an overdose. June 3rd, Tiny Tim Burns, dealer, dead from an overdose. June 12th, Bobby Cashton, dealer.
Dead from an overdose. Shall we get a picture, Bolly? So somebody's been bumping them off.
It doesn't justify contacting an undercover officer, Gov.
No law against visiting. What do they sell, anyway?
Mannequins, Gov. Yeah, it's taking the piss, that. Can't even be bothered for a decent front.
Yeah, given the good old days when blaggers had shipping companies and warehouses full of bloody boxes.
Right, you've seen where she's placed. Start the car, move on.
Hey, up. There she is.
Morning.
Miss Undercover 1983.
A mannequin shop.
Leave this one to me, Gov.
No, nobody is going anywhere. The first rule of undercover, you do not approach them, especially at their placement.
No clothes, no hair. Boobs like crash helmets. It's no life for them, is it?
I told you, we're putting you in jeopardy. Just... Hi. Customs and Excise. Just thought you'd have a chat. Didn't realise we had a visit scheduled for today. Or at all.
Well, we just need to know if there's anything our department should be aware of.
Can't talk here.
Just that you haven't phoned home for a while. Thought it might be nice to catch up, find out what's been going on in your life.
Westman Estate, 5 o'clock. I'll be there now, please. Well, thank you very much for dropping by. I'm sure you'll find everything here meets current regulations.
Right.
Jean Bloody Hunt.
Terry Bloody Stafford.
Great.
Thought you bastards had forgotten all about me.
Just routine inquiries, Terence.
Nothing you ever did was routine, Jean. I'm touched you'd stop by, though. When you retire, you start to wonder what it was all about. Wife buggered off years ago, kid doesn't listen to a word you say, you start to wonder if it was all worth it. And then Mr. Hunt here pops up just to remind you that your name lives on.
Well, that's very heartwarming. Even if it isn't true.
I never lie to beautiful women.
What are you doing here, then, if you're retired?
All this. It's little Daniel's business. I just stopped by on my daily walk. Nice to get out of the flat, see a pretty face. You should know all about that, Jean. Of course you do. I saw you chatting away to her. The old Hunt charm.
Well, enjoy your walk. Pretty soon you'll only be allowed an hour around the yard, then straight back to your cell. Highlight of the day. Unless, of course, you drop the soap in the shower.
Oh, dear. Almost sounds like you've got a problem with me.
By the way, a certain DCI Wilson sends his regards. Said you ran him over in an Austin Allegro.
Shouldn't believe half what you see and none of what you hear, Mr. Hunt. Tell him I said hello back.
She won't make you a Terry sniffing around.
He's quite a character, isn't he? He certainly knows how to wind you up.
A murder charge that he squirmed his way out of. He got involved in an argument with a taxi driver over the fare. The driver didn't show Terry the necessary respect. 12 hours later, the poor bastard's body was found in a lay-by.
Didn't go to court?
No, he got thrown out. Inadmissible evidence. Our Terence walks away laughing. Ray, any sign of life in a mannequin store?
Sure.
Shot for the day, Guff. No sign of the bird.
We could be here till the sun goes down and the shirtlift has come out. I am telling you, she ain't gonna show. First thing tomorrow, we go back there.
What, and put her at risk even more? Think about it, Gav.
Thinking's overrated. I don't care what she's doing. We need answers, Bowles, when little Louisa's gone.
Yes, sir.
What gave you the right to directly contact an undercover officer?
It was deemed a necessary
risk. It's okay,
risk.
Bowles. We don't have to answer any of pencil next questions.
Oh, believe me, you do. Maybe I was wrong to give you the leeway. Hope to challenge you so you rise to the occasion.
I knew it. Out of the closet. He's all over me.
What's happened?
She says she'll only speak to you two. God knows why.
They find the undercover officer, shaken, with a bloody wound on her face.
Was it our fault? Did it happen because we showed up?
They were bound to work it out sooner or later.
You're avoiding the question.
Was it Terry?
No. It was Daniel, his son. Maybe he heard about you coming to see me. Put two and two together. Maybe he suspected for a while, either way. He wanted a little chat about it.
What did you tell him?
I didn't blow my cover. At least he apologized. Like it was just one of those things, and I couldn't stay there after that. How bad does it look?
It's all right. A couple of days, be fine. Louis, I know that this is very hard, but we have to know what the Staffords are planning. Are they getting involved in the heroin trade?
Big time. Ripping off other dealers, closing down the market.
Not bumping folk off like one in Johnston. The dealer showed up with a nasty case of the blue balls.
Overdosed. Him and four others, space of a month.
I don't know anything about that, but it would make sense if Daniel's looking to close down the networks.
Right, well, I'll have a look over the picture profiles just in case. Louis, I know just how difficult it is to come straight from one world into another.
Right, so, talked about Daniel. What about a big bastard? What about Terry Stafford?
It's yesterday's man.
Don't write him off.
Daniel's the driving force. Terry's just seems a bit scared of him. He's quite sweet, actually. Tells a good story, doesn't stare at my arse when I walk past him.
DCI Wilson seems to think he's still active.
Well, with all due respect, DCI Wilson doesn't know what he's talking about. He isn't the one that had to gain Daniel's trust. Wilson probably saw me as a waste of resources.
Sure, that wasn't the case.
He wanted a quick and easy collar, and I couldn't give it to him. And when Daniel wanted me on his team, I didn't bottle it. And if he'd bothered his ass, he'd know that I have information worth having. Daniel Stafford is looking to set up his own supply networks.
Where does he keep his stock?
I don't know. It was hard enough getting in on the heist on the van, but I know this much. First thing tomorrow morning, he's making a trial run. Sending up potential dealers down to White City. If he's got half a brain on him, he'll have a sample back.
Good, right. Looks like young Danny boy's going down faster than a 5-pound prosy.
In the office, Chris turns to Louise.
Not like that. Scum. Attacking a woman. It's just wrong.
Undercover isn't exactly what I thought it would be.
Well, you got balls, though. Not balls. You know, the female version. Like how she has, not so long ago. She goes all out after this nutter. Sticks herself out on the line. I mean, that's women for you. Scary.
It wasn't my choice to be in there alone. I thought I'd have more backup.
Yeah. When Shaz was out there, I felt that I should have been by her side.
Well, I wish you'd been running the op then, not Wilson. Might have been easier on me.
I'll get you that cuppa.
Ray sucks on a cigarette, staring lasciviously at Louise. She grows uncomfortable and walks across the office to Alex. Ray's eyes follow her.
So what happens now?
Well, we'll need to keep you here for protection. I know it's not easy being somebody you're not.
I'm sure you just want to get back to somewhere familiar. It's just the pressure. I can't keep playing this stupid game.
You want to run, don't you? You want to leave?
Yes.
I don't blame you. But the end of the road is in sight. And I'm asking you as a favour to me, don't stop now. Keep going. See this through to the end, otherwise... otherwise it's all been for nothing.
Jim places a hand on Louise's shoulder.
And I think you're worth much more than that.
He gives her a sincere look.
Thank you, sir.
Clutching a glass of whiskey, Jean watches Jim and Louise through his office window. He sips his drink. Now, Ray and Chris are in his office.
Right, tomorrow morning, bright and early, you two are going to cast a beady eye over Daniel Stafford's house. If he moves, you tell me. What?
It's just that the Gov asked me to come in early tomorrow and look at some case files.
Who asked you to do that?
Keats. Jim Keats.
You see, because just for a second there, I thought you referred to him as the Gov, but that's impossible, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I meant... tomorrow morning, bright and early, surveillance on Daniel Stafford.
Because Jim Keats isn't running this operation, I am. Don't forget it.
Yes, Gov.
Ray glares at Chris on their way out.
Twat.
Shaz notices Chris and Louise exchange smiles. Alex approaches Shaz.
Shaz, you know the other day when you talked to me about seeing stars? What exactly did you mean?
Why?
I'm just interested.
Oh, did the Gov ask you to do this?
To do what?
Ask me questions, psychological stuff. You know, see if I'm fit for a promotion.
No, it's just me, I'm just interested.
Right, I don't really remember. It's not a big deal. You won't say anything, will you, Mum?
No.
It's tough enough being a woman in here without them thinking I'm, you know... like me.
In her apartment, Alex has written on a notepad, I see you, weather vane, rural, dead copper, Jean, 6620, Jean, Sam, Shaz and Stars.
Everything has a pattern and a pattern to everything.
She goes down the list.
Find the connections. Find a way out of this.
She underlines Stars. Then her television flicks on, showing just white fuzzy noise. From a shadowy corner appears the disfigured officer Then Alex wakes with a start. She glances around the room and realizes that no one is there. At the station, Alex enters an office and draws the blinds shut. She opens a filing cabinet but finds it empty. Ray and Chris are on a stakeout.
5:30 in the morning, it's not right. No one should be around at 5:30 in the morning, it's unnatural. Hey, you should go easy on that Ikarate, mate.
Well, it's just a dab and a dash.
Wasting your time with that Louise Bird. I've seen the way she looks at me. It's in the bag.
You've not even spoken to her.
Animal attraction. Call of the wild. What?
No, it's nothing. I'm stupid, but I thought I had a bit of a connection to her when I spoke to her.
I'll tell you what, mate. I wouldn't stand in your way. I wouldn't bother with one of those undercover plod anyway.
Why not?
What, all that pretending to be someone else? Head cases, the lot of them.
Well, I just thought she was quite nice, that's all.
Jim finds Alex making tea in the office kitchen.
You're up early.
Tragic side effects of an empty social life and workaholic tendencies. Yourself?
Thanks to a tip-off from Louise, we're planning on picking up Danny Stafford over in White City this morning.
Well out of your jurisdiction.
Try telling that to the Gov.
He's driven. I'll give him that. You know, I sometimes wake up in the middle of the night worried I've misjudged him. That I'm in the wrong, not him.
Don't let him know that, will you? They'll never hear the end of it.
Jim puts some files down.
Did you get those files from the storage room in the hallway?
Look, Chris dragged these out of the basement for me.
But you did get some from there?
I haven't even started on this floor yet. Why?
Oh, just someone I was looking for has disappeared.
Yup. He's on the move already. He's got a motor.
Daniel Stafford gets into his car.
Gov, he's on the move and we're right on him.
Jim sidles closer to Alex.
You seem a little strung out.
Do I? I haven't been sleeping very well, actually. You know, this might sound a little bit strange to you, but, I think I'm being haunted.
Metaphorically, or...?
No, literally.
Odd is probably underselling it a bit, then. I can't say I believe in all that sort of thing, to be honest.
No, nor do I. Well, not in the real world, I don't.
Who is haunting you? Old lady, creepy child, King Edward II? Sorry.
It's a policeman, actually.
Interesting.
Or maybe it's a projection of my own subconscious. Maybe it's my fears, suspicions.
It's a little early in the morning to be doing this, isn't it?
Yeah.
Jean strides in.
Just had word from Ray.
Danny Stafford's on the move.
Well, if Louise is right, we can catch him red-handed. Sorry to interrupt your little coffee morning, James. Some of us have real work to do. It's the only bird that bags the bastard.
Jean and his team step into the road in front of Daniel's car.
What the hell do you want?
Jean grabs him.
Oh, thank Christ, you're police. For a minute there, I thought I was in trouble.
It's a bit early for a drive, Daniel. Where are you off to, church?
See my girlfriend. Spot a morning glory.
What, 6 a.m? Do I have gullible written on my forehead?
Here we go again.
See, I know you're lying because your lips move, just like an old man.
Gov, you want to see this?
What, a little prezi for a girlfriend?
Found this, Gov. Smells like engine oil.
Something here stinks. I did not put that heroin in my car.
No, of course you didn't. It happens all the time, doesn't it? Pop out for a little drive and leave a couple of kilos in a glove compartment.
Daniel thumps Jean in the stomach and sprints down the road. Jean and the others pursue him on foot. Daniel puts some distance between them and leaps over a wall into a garden. Heroes anymore, no more heroes. Chris lobs the canister of oil into the garden at Daniel, and Jim springs over the wall after him. The others wait and listen. Gene pulls himself back up, and Alex notices the iconic Blue Peter sign on the wall.
Would somebody like to give me a hand dragging this bastard back over?
Is there a garden in there?
Yes, why?
Vandals broke into the Blue Peter garden and caused rather a lot of damage. And one really cruel thing they did was to pour fuel oil into the fish pond. Well, we've drained the pond and we've rescued some of the fish, but a few of them have died and the oil itself has caused a lot of damage.
And if that wasn't enough, they then smashed our sundial and then callously threw it into the pond.
Well, we hope to repair the damage, but it's very sad to think that a few people take such pleasure...
It's only a bloody garden! Turn it off.
Such a shame. Those poor little fish.
Off! Good news.
Just have a look at our appeal totaliser.
Shaz switches it off.
Right, anything else we need to know about Daniel before we rattle his cage?
Watch what he says, he's slippery.
Of course he is, he's a Stafford. Like father, like son.
Don't worry, we won't compromise your cover. We won't tell him it was you who tipped us off. And hopefully we can find out where he's keeping his heroin supplies before they hit the streets. And then... can I go home? I'm sorry, I still think this is the safest place for you to be. I feel like I'm being punished. You're not. I've done everything that was asked of me. I went in there terrified that I'd be uncovered, and when I was, I didn't back down. I understand. No, you don't. It was like I was pushed in there and abandoned, and now I'm out. I want to leave it all behind me. Soon. I promise. You promise.
Ray and Chris are observing the conversation.
Sorry, I didn't mean to, Well, can I at least call my mum?
Yeah, use my office.
Louise, please don't reveal any details about your whereabouts, will you?
Ray and Jean's eyes follow her bottom as she walks across the room. She makes a phone call from Jean's office.
You know, considering the lack of support she seems to have had, I think Louise has done a really good job. You know, she brought us Daniel Stafford. Gov, I think maybe at the end of this case, we should bring her onto the team.
No.
Well, at least consider it.
She's a decent enough cop, but she's a liability.
Oh, considering what she's been through, I...
I'm not a babysitter, Bowles.
I know. I just don't want to send her back over to Hanfield. You know, DCI Wilson, I don't think he's handled her very well. I just want to give her a chance, Gov, you know? Somebody like you...
Do I look like a slice of toast?
No.
Then stop buttering me up like some demented housewife. By the time we leave this room, I want Danny Stafford bagged and tagged.
Alex questions Daniel.
5 dealers dead in 2 months. A vanload of heroin you tried to steal. A network of dealers you tried to set up.
Not to mention the party pack and the glove compartment.
So what exactly are you charging me with here?
Well, at the moment, you are helping us with our inquiries. It's just a quaint way of putting it.
OK, you've got me on possession. The rest is speculation, otherwise you'd be out kicking doors in instead of talking to me.
Well, I don't really want to get my shoes scuffed. It'd be a lot easier if you just tell us.
You do realise you're being used, don't you? I know who tipped you off. Incredible. He's playing you, it's almost beautiful.
Who? Who's playing us?
My dad, Terry, obviously. He planted the heroin in my car, he must have given you the tip-off.
See, that's the trouble with your generation, always blaming it on mummy and daddy.
Why would your own father want to set you up?
No, we've never seen eye to eye. But he always had the authority. But then, I come out of prison, I see him for what he really is. An old man, past it, a fossil. And he knows that every time he looks at me. But his time is up. I'm the future.
You've got a very high opinion of yourself.
Well, people react when they feel threatened. How would you feel if someone younger came in, someone smarter, better looking than you?
Well, they'd melt in my shadow, son.
Yeah, sure, of course they would. Meanwhile, they'd be nipping round the back and giving your bird a good seeing to. Proper satisfaction.
I apologise for my DCI's behaviour.
Well, don't.
That's all right. I deserve that one. Edward Hampton. Do you remember him?
Of course I do. He was a taxi driver that Terry bumped off.
But what if I told you that I witnessed it? that I'm willing to sign a full statement. Anything you want to bang up my old man, charge of murder. That one's been hanging around you lot for a while, hasn't it?
Well, you want to make a deal with us?
I tried prison. I didn't like it much. I'm not planning on going back, so yeah, love. I want to make a deal. Me for him. You'd be a hero, right? The man who finally brought Terry Stafford to his knees. And I'm the fella that can help you.
Jean shoves him into the corridor.
Right, Skip, would you kindly escort Mr. Daniel Stafford back to his luxury suite?
Right, you are, girl.
You think about it, Hunt. Deal's only good for so long.
Interview room here.
Daniel sees Louise.
Well, you here? No, no, no. No way. Nobody does that to me. Nobody sells me out!
Get him out of here.
Nobody sells me out!
Out!
I'll miss you, baby. But it won't be long, I promise you that!
Come on.
Nobody sells me out!
Right, we need to get her out of here.
I'm sorry, I was giving her a guided tour.
Too late to worry about that now. Daniel's got connections. The longer she stays here, the more danger she'll be in. We need to find somewhere safe.
Well, what about that place that serves cheap plonk?
That's Luigi's.
Fancy another?
Shaz looks jealous as Chris takes Louise up to the bar.
He's well in over there.
Shut up, Ray.
Can't tell me to shut up. I'm your superior.
Only in rank and only for the moment, so shut up.
Don't worry. Gov won't let anything happen to you. I won't.
Police are big on that. We'll look after you, thing.
No, it can't have been easy for you out there.
The only way to survive, really, is just to become who you're meant to be. Think like them. Like what they like. Be how they'd be until you don't know where you start and they end.
Bit like Batman and Bruce Wayne. I mean, is he a bloke in a cape? Pretending to be a millionaire playboy, or is it the other way around?
You know, Gov, even if you do go back on this deal with Daniel, he's going to want something first. You know, a show of faith, bail. And once he's out, he'll sell up and we will be back to square one, a load of heroin out there on the street and us having absolutely no idea where it is.
I want you to stop talking so that I can enjoy my drink in peace.
And I want you to promise that there'll be no deal with Daniel Stafford.
I find you quite interesting and, you know, if ever you wanted to, if you fancied a pie or anything, you know, not a date, but it could be.
Well, I'd like to, but the person that you're sat here with now isn't really me.
No, I don't understand.
I'm not sure I can go back to normal. Do you think they'll take Daniel up on his offer?
I don't know. The Gov wants one thing, Mom wants another. Usually they just shout and chuck stuff at one another until one of them gives up.
I can't walk free now after what he did to me.
Something else happened, didn't it?
Louise breaks down.
What?
There was no one there. No one there. To protect me, to stop him.
What did he do?
Chris marches through the corridors of the police station with grim determination etched on his face. He strides over to the desk sergeant, Viv.
Keys to the cells.
Now!
Startled, Viv hands over the keys and watches Chris head towards the cells with a sense of purpose. Chris opens Daniel's cell.
Right, dickhead.
Daniel scoffs, then Chris lays into him with a series of heavy, brutal blows. He repeatedly kicks him on the ground until Jean and Alex arrive and pull Chris away.
Chris, that's enough. I said enough.
He raped her! The bastard raped her!
Chris, ambulance!
Yes.
He raped her.
Jean leads Chris away. Alex looks at Daniel, coughing and bleeding on the cell floor.
attacking a suspect in a cell. Beating him to within an inch of his life. You know, they have a word for that.
Justice.
Assault. Police brutality of the lowest, nastiest kind. I expected better from you, Chris.
You had no right to do that to her.
And you had no right to take the law into your own hands. This isn't the Wild West. Still, it solved one problem. We won't be getting any evidence against Terry now. Any self-respecting lawyer is going to take one look at his face and think we got it through coercion.
Bugger. I hadn't thought of that. It's not like the good old days when you could hold them up in traction. The judge wouldn't give them a second look.
Oh, it gets worse. You see, he cries police brutality. Sympathetic judge lets him go. Who do you think his first port of call is going to be, Chris?
Maurice.
Exactly.
Chris looks remorseful.
Didn't mean that to happen, Mum. I was just trying to protect her. She was told before that she'd be all right undercover. And they let her down. We let her down. The police. And that's not right. It's just... it's not right.
Louise is at Alex's flat.
Your Mum all right?
As much as she can be.
Parents worry, don't they? More than kids ever realise they do. I'm sorry.
What for?
Because I think you were let down. I think DCI Wilson failed you, and I think you paid a very heavy price for it.
Just all feels so pointless. Even if we take the Staffords down, someone else will spring up in their place.
It's natural to feel disillusioned. And that's why I'd like you to join us at Fenchurch.
You don't want someone like me.
No, don't do that. Don't put yourself down. I'd like to help you, Louise.
Why?
Because maybe that's why I'm here. To help coppers like you. So, here's what we're going to do. We are going to go through all your reports, and we are going to find something. We are going to find something to bring down the Staffords the right way.
You're not going to stop until you bring them down, are you?
It's what we do, isn't it? I know you might find it strange, but, outside of this, for me, there's nothing.
Louise nods seriously. Then Alex heads into the kitchen. As Alex fetches a couple of glasses, someone grabs her from behind and smothers her face with chloroform. Jim's looking at photographs of Daniel's wounds, and Jean's sitting on the other side of his desk.
Very pretty pictures.
The cuts in particular come out nicely. Please. Look at them.
I don't need to, I was there.
That's something you might want to think twice about before admitting, Jean. Do you know the real tragedy? Christopher Skelton could have made a decent copper, better than decent. Instead, he ended up getting roped in with you.
Danny Stafford had it coming to him.
That doesn't look good for Chris. Oh. His time in the force is over. But I could pull some strings. Have him transferred over to my team. A personal guarantee to rehabilitate him, keep an eye on his progress.
No.
I'm sorry, I thought you said no.
You heard me.
You want to throw away his career? Make him sacrifice everything just because of your stubborn pride? What are you going to do, Jean, when your team abandon you? Because they will. One by one. When they realise what you really are.
Jean stands, then knocks a cup of tea over Jim's desk and the photographs.
Typical. Yeah, when the pressure's on, you revert to teenage behaviour. A spoilt kid in his dirty sandpit.
I'm not the one who's gonna have to change his trousers.
Jean returns to his office.
Gov.
Where's Drake?
Dunno, Gov. Not bothered turning in yet.
Probably a protest against certain people's thuggish behaviour.
He had it coming to him for what he did. What if it had been you?
Don't you compare me to her?
Both birds, both coppers.
Oh, I didn't mean it that way, Shaz.
Gov.
What?
Gonna be okay. I mean, you sorted everything, didn't you? It's just, I can't lose this job.
Yeah, you'll be fine. Listen. But Nibs thinks that she can sit at home in a bath full of righteous indignation over what happened here yesterday. She's got another bloody thing coming.
Alex is lying in a coffin in a freshly dug grave. Jean bangs on her apartment door.
Alex! Drake, are you in there?
She wakes as the grave begins to be filled in. Jean smashes the door down and finds Alex unconscious on the floor.
Bonnie.
She tries to open the coffin.
Come on, wake up.
Jean checks for a pulse.
Bonnie!
More soil tumbles down.
What happened? Where's Louise?
No, I think I couldn't breathe.
Louise, where is she?
I don't know, they must have taken her.
Did you see anyone?
No, it happened too quickly, come on.
Terry Stafford's got to be. Right, listen, Bowles, I know you have one of your turns, but a fellow police officer is in grave danger here. Come on, get your arse in gear, now.
At the mannequin shop.
You! What's going on here?
All shut down, Gov. Staffords have sold the place off.
Wherever they've taken her, it's not there. I can't believe this is happening.
It gets worse. Daniel Stafford never made it to the hospital. He escaped from the ambulance. I've only just this minute had the call.
Well, if he escaped, then they've got Louise.
It's not good enough, Jean, is it? An officer out there in danger, a man with a grudge set free thanks to your leadership. You better hope to God that you find her, because the clock is ticking.
Gov, this report from Louise from March, it refers back to an earlier one dated February.
And?
Well, there isn't one for that date, and it ain't the first time it's happened.
Jean flicks through the paperwork.
She's right, some of these reports are missing. It's good work, Shaz.
Promotion. Date it, stick to it.
Oh, so they've definitely been tampered with?
Yeah, and we'll be able to do that.
What the hell do you think you're...
How much do Staffords pay you?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You play golf? Of course you do. Like all the other useless bastards, like Keats. I bet he plays and all. You got 5 seconds.
Jean smashes a cup.
I swear to God.
You better start talking, because I've now got the bit between my teeth, my friend.
Gov, just think about what Keats is going to say when it...
It's your last chance.
Daniel Stafford. He paid me to look the other way.
What?
He said he clocked Louise was working undercover.
Well, why didn't you get her out of there?
It was too late. But he promised. He promised he wouldn't do anything. As long as some of the reports, the most incriminating ones, disappeared.
So she's been in there risking her life for nothing?
No. See, it made sense. Said he'd keep Terry in line. Said he'd sort out the other dealers. I mean, that's better, isn't it?
Better? What do you mean, better?
Don't have the resources to police all of them. Far better just have one bugger to worry about. Safer. Sometimes you have to shake hands with the devil for the greater good.
The Staffords have taken Louise.
We need to know where. Where's their base for operations?
Daniel. Daniel who bought the old Armstrong department stores. That's where you'll find the heroine.
And you better pray that's where we'll also find Louise.
Wilson gasps as Jean steps closer, clutching a golf club. But Jean uses the club to break a piece of Petticoat Tail's shortbread on the desk.
Chris, Ray, you go in the front, me and Bowles will head round the back. Oh joy, Jim's here.
Jean loads his gun.
All right, Bowles, I'm gonna shoot you again. Him on the other hand.
Chris and Ray advance through the murky warehouse filled with eerie, naked mannequins.
If anything moves, whack it.
Jean spots Louise kissing Terry.
Now that's what I call undercover.
Jean approaches and Louise pulls a gun.
Well, I've seen some slappers in my time. You take it to a new low.
Hunt.
drugs in a van, Terry.
Back away, please.
My colleague here, she reckons you've got the makings of a good cop. She's got faith in you. I hope you're going to be smart enough to drop that before somebody gets hurt.
Ray nudges a mannequin as he squeezes past.
Sorry, love.
Chris slides a set of hangers along a rail. Then Daniel leaps out from under some plastic sheeting and grabs him.
We know you've been let down. We know Daniel Stafford found out about you. We know Wilson didn't protect you.
Didn't need to. I was there for it.
Regular little Bonnie and Clyde.
Daniel was right, wasn't he? You did set him up.
Thought he could take over the business. Not while there's a breath left in my body.
Well, that could be arranged.
Just put the gun down.
Listen to Alex, Louise. Listen to her.
Chris and Daniel bundle through the rows of mannequins.
You cut your own face. What happened, Louise? Broken home, bad family?
Don't.
This isn't the answer. He isn't the answer.
I swear, if you come any closer, Ross.
Jean shoots the gun from her hand.
You know, you really have got to stop all this psychological bollocks, Polly.
Good shot.
Blame me for a leg.
Ray throws Daniel over a set of shelves. Chris tries to grab him, but he wriggles free of his jacket and runs outside.
Daniel!
Go! It's Daniel!
Daniel clambers into a van and accelerates.
Stay back!
No, Daniel!
The van slams into Louise. Jean fires, striking Daniel in the shoulder, and the van smashes into a pile of rubbish bins.
Louise.
Alex runs over to the van and knocks Daniel out by slamming the door against his head. Then she joins the others, gathered around Louise's body.
Tell me she's gonna be okay.
Jim crouches and holds her.
Don't move, don't move. Just be still, be still.
He strokes her face.
It's all right. It's all right. Don't try and speak.
She looks at him with terrified eyes.
Don't be scared. I'm here, DC Gardner. I'm here.
Her frantic breathing slows.
Louise.
She passes away, and Jim gently closes her eyelids. He studies her peaceful face, then shuts his own eyes. Terry hangs his head. Jean briefly turns away, wearing a stony sneer. Ray appears moved. Chris and Alex struggle to hold back the tears. A somber atmosphere hangs over the team as they wait for Luigi to bring over a tray of gaudy cocktails.
That's here.
There you go.
Signorina?
What is that?
It's cocktail hour.
Was there any chance I could get a drink that looks like it hasn't minced its way over from Mayfair?
The girl can't help it, she falls in love with Chris. Even so.
Enjoy.
It was her own fault.
She didn't deserve that.
No, I know, but you gave her every chance.
How's your bruises, mate?
Don't even feel them. I had him, that Daniel Stafford.
I can't believe I trusted her.
Shagging Terry Stafford.
She was right, though. Police did let her down. You can't just put somebody in undercover and expect them to make sense of things by themselves.
Tough titty. That's the job. You get dirt on your hands, crap in your pants.
Of course, I knew you'd be a beacon of sensitivity.
I'm cheering you up.
Well, you're not really, are you?
Well, I'm saying you were right to believe her. And the bottom line is, we trust each other.
It's not that easy, though, is it? How could you tell if somebody was hiding a deep, dark secret?
Jim walks in.
I just wanted to say, I know you all tried your best today. And to lose a fellow officer, words aren't enough.
You're still talking.
Chris, I've been asked to file a report about your assault on Daniel Stafford. And as far as I'm concerned, it was accidental. He attacked you, you defended yourself.
Really?
We lost a good copper today. I don't want to make it two. If it comes back to bite me in the arse somewhere down the line, I'll take the flak. You just keep doing what you do best.
Thanks, Gub. Jim, Sir Jim, thank you.
Jim turns to face the bar under Jean's hostile glare.
You know, you should be thanking him as well.
Yeah, right. Were you serious?
Chris's career was over. He's been given a second chance, and it's thanks to Jim. So, yes, Gov, I am serious.
Thank you, Jim, for what you did. Thank you. And thank you for gracing us with your presence, for coming down from your ivory tower to poke and prod us mere mortals, and for giving me the chance to work with such a fine figure of a man.
For God's sake.
You know, sometimes I'm surprised that I can even look at you. Such is the brightness of the sun that shines from your arse. Thank you, Jim. Thank you. Right, you'd like a bloody drink.
Alex raises her head and sees the disfigured policeman standing in the doorway. And then he's gone.
She's watching the detectives. Ooh, it's so teardrop start.
Who are you?
Detective Chief Inspector Bastard Lytton.
Frank Hardwick, stand-up comic. You heard of him? This parasite swans into the clubhouse, nicks 2 grand from the pot and scarpers down to your patch.
Stole the police widow's collection?
Bastard.
Do you buy any of this police widow stuff?
No, stinks like a month-old chinky.
Book the gym, dance rehearsal.
Dance rehearsal?
Police gala, opportunity cops this Friday. Me and Ray are body popping.
Oh, sweet Jesus, I thought I'd seen everything.
Now be careful. Pretty woman like yourself, things can happen.
Are you threatening me?
Give up, Frank Hardwick, and I'll give you the story on Sam and Jean.